Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
There we go. Okay, fantastic. I'm so glad to be here. Pastor Nathan told me you guys are going through preaching through the Bible in a year, and that's awesome. And I love God's Word, and I'm so excited to kind of be jumping in this series with you. I'm guessing some of you might be doing a reading plan with it or watching the Bible Project. Do I have any Tim Mackey fans in here? Yeah, a couple of you know who I'm talking about? Well, I actually know Tim Mackey. I am a student at Western Seminary in Portland. I'm getting my master's in divinity, and he actually is an adjunct professor there sometimes. So he was teaching a class, and as soon as I saw it, I signed up immediately, fangirling, was so excited. So this was a three-day class, and people were flying in and stuff, you know, to be there to take it. And it was quite a large class. So my advisor, who's also been my professor and has become really an advocate of mine, was there introducing the class kind of to the campus and to Tim, because a lot of people do stuff online and they have different sites. And he said, you know, the bathrooms are down the hall, the vending machines are in the building next door, and this is a Baptist seminary, okay, Western Seminary. And he says, vending machines are next door, and if you have any demons that need to be delivered in pigs, you can see Danielle Burkholder. She's our, I kid you not, he says she's our resident charismatic. Tim Mackey is standing right next to him. So, of course, Tim looks over, and I am in the corner doing exactly what you think I'd be doing, walking on hot coals and playing with snakes, of course. Just kidding. My mouth dropped open, and I mean, what was I going to say? I have cast a couple devils out in my time, so anyway, I ended up getting an A in Tim's class. Otherwise, I'd have had to cast something out of him, right? So that's how I met Tim Mackey. It's going through the Bible in a year. Nathan told me you guys are going through Acts, and I love Acts. And I've read somewhere, really, it should be called Acts of the Holy Spirit, which I think is an accurate title, because the Holy Spirit's the consistent character throughout as you turn the pages. And we see two huge Holy Spirit moments in the book of Acts. In chapter 2, I know you guys have talked about that. They're in the upper room, and Pentecost comes, and the tongues of fire, and everybody's filled with the Holy Spirit, and they go out, and Peter preaches his greatest, you know, hit. And that's such a significant moment in church history, because up to that point, the Holy Spirit had only been accessible in the temple. And I think Nathan's talked about this, how in the Old Testament and before the Holy Spirit came, the only way you could approach God's presence, the only way you could get close to His Spirit is one, if He showed up with like a ladder or something, or if you went to the temple and there was all kinds of ceremonial laws and cleanliness and you had to be born as a priest to even get into the Holy of Holies, right? Until Jesus came. And His death divided the curtain in the temple, and there was a huge moment and shift in history. And Jesus told them, wait for the promised Holy Spirit. They did. And you know, the Holy Spirit came down and moved out of that temple space that's only accessible through a whole lot of hoops, and a whole lot of people aren't invited to that space, to the Holy Spirit indwelling in people. He's no longer in a place, He's in a people. And the Holy of Holies is no longer behind some thick curtain that you can't approach. It's dwelling in people. And so there's a lot to ponder there. But as I was praying, Nathan said, you've basically got Acts 3 through the end. And so I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? This is your book anyway. What do you want to say? And I was drawn to Acts chapter 10 because in Acts chapter 10, Peter tells us that what happened there was actually a repeat of Acts 2. Peter's own words say the same thing happened that had happened to us at the beginning. And so we're going to take a look at that. But I am also a teacher. And so alongside looking at this text, I want to tell you a Bible study method that has radically changed my life. This method is really, and Tim Mackey actually confirmed it, because in his class he said, Scripture is primarily written about God. So when you go to it, that's who you need to look for first. And there's a lot of other characters in there, but they all revolve around him. And what happened a number of years ago was I would approach the scriptures, and I'd be like, okay, I'd take it and I'd say, what is it, Lord? Okay, what do I need to change? What do I need to fix? Where am I wrong? How do I need to repent? And it was very self-oriented. And I learned, you're going to laugh, I learned how to use something called soap. Anybody use soap in here? I hope everybody raises your hand. I'm not talking about that kind of soap, though. I'm talking about a tool that really changed my devotional life from a self-oriented devotional life to a God-oriented devotional life. It changed my orientation to some kind of determined self-will, make myself a better human, to approaching the scriptures and coming away worshiping, and coming away with spiritual transformation that was happening in me as a result of seeing him. And so I actually want to share that with you alongside our text, because as you're going through the Bible in a year, sometimes it can be like, all right, I don't know what I'm doing right now. I'm just checking the box on the Read Scripture app. Anybody ever done that? Yeah. And honestly, I have fallen in love with Jesus over and over again. I have experienced transformation that has really, literally made me a different person because of this tool. Isn't that amazing? So what does SOAP stand for? It stands for, it's an acronym, and it stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. So the S is for Scripture, it's whatever text you're reading, and tonight it's going to be Acts chapter 10. The O is observation, but it's not just any observation. Like I said before, we start with who? God. What do we observe about him? And when I say God, I'm talking about the whole package, the Trinity. What do we see about Jesus? What do we see about the Holy Spirit? What do we see about the Father? What's his character like? What's his nature like? How is he interacting? How is he showing up? And I'm writing it down. So that's where I start. What do I see about him? And if you've got even 5 minutes and you open your Bible and that's the only question you ask, it'll change your devotional time. Because you've taken your eyes off yourself and you've put your eyes on him. The second part of observation, there's actually three pieces to the observation if there's any note takers. Or you can listen, well, I guess there's a podcast or something. The second part of observation is what do you observe about people? Because they're there for a reason. We hear about their stories for a reason. We're meant to learn something from watching them. Anybody have older or younger siblings and you're like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Ooh, that made mom mad. Right? You can learn from people. And then the third one is observing that text in the greater context of the book or the scriptures. So if there's an Old Testament quote, guess what you do? You pause, you go read that Old Testament quote. If you have a study Bible and it's got all these little numbers, you might not get through the Bible in a year, I'm just saying. But you look at it in the greater context. And then we get to, after we've observed, after we've looked and pondered and asked our questions and used the synapses that Nathan was talking about, then we get to application. And this is when we ask the Holy Spirit. And we say, Holy Spirit, what is it, out of what I've seen about God, out of what I've seen about people, what is it that you want me to believe differently or behave differently? Pastors, we like alliteration. How can I believe or behave differently as a result of the truth that I've seen? And then P is prayer. And we pray that thing. and we pray that truth, and we break agreement with the lies, and we pray and invite the Holy Spirit to change us and move into that space of what we've seen in Scripture. So we're going to apply that to our text. We're going to first look at God. How does he reveal himself? And then we're going to look at two key figures, Cornelius and Peter. And then we're going to look at the apostles and believers. And then we'll ask a couple questions. So let's read. Luke is the author of Acts, and he sets this up almost like a movie. It's a scene that he describes, and he wants you to move in with and experience it. So we're going to do that a little bit, okay? I want you to use your observation skills, and we're going to read Acts chapter 10. I'm using the NIV, starting in verse 1, and I think we'll have it on the screen. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now, send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who's called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." So when we look at this text, what do we see about God? The first thing that you should see, or that I saw, is God can show up anywhere, anytime, to anybody he wants. If you know much about Jews and Gentiles, this centurion, he's a Gentile. And God shows up. But God doesn't just show up here in this story to just anybody, does he? He shows up to somebody who has a regular pattern of showing up himself. Cornelius is a man that shows up in prayer. And God's returning the favor. Not only that, but we see God knows his name. And he knows his habits of his life and his character. Cornelius. He knows he's a devout man. He knows that he regularly gives and is generous. His life reflects a knowledge and a devotion to God that maybe exceeds some who already know about Jesus. And God sees and knows this. So Cornelius does what the angel says. And then we're going to skip and we're going to fast forward to Peter, because something is happening with Peter. While Cornelius is hearing this angel and sending his men, something is congruent alongside and is happening with Peter. And let's look down in Acts 10, beginning in verse 9. At about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry. Wow, why is that in there? That's fantastic. Anybody ever got hungry while you prayed? Yeah? Okay. Well, don't quit. Learn from Peter. Keep praying. And he wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he's like, "Well, I might as well pray." So he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened not once, not twice, but three times. And immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. What do we see about God here? God had specific instructions for Peter. He wanted to prepare him for the work he had for him to do. But the vision and God's voice, you guys, they did not match Peter's narrative of who God is. They didn't match his narrative of how God works. They didn't match what he understood the scriptures to tell him how he was to live his life. So there's a discongruency here that's happening, and Peter basically rebukes God? Surely not, Lord. I don't touch anything impure. And how does God respond? He just says it again. And then he says it again. He's patient. He meets Peter where he is. Peter's praying. God shows up and meets him where he is in his journey, where he is in his understanding, where he is in his faith. And he's taking him along the journey and transforming him to see and think like he does. How does God work? What do you observe about him when you look at these texts? Now, I'll pause here in our soap because I was looking at this and I was like, Lord, what is different here than the Old Testament laws that say don't touch and don't eat unclean things? So I went back and I was looking at where these laws were, and I was reading it, and in Leviticus 11, where a lot of the dietary laws are, and where God is saying don't eat this and, you know, this is unclean, God says the reason. He says, because I'm holy. Therefore, I want you to be holy. You see, if you touch these things, they will make you impure. They'll defile you. They'll make you unclean, so you can't get near them because I'm holy and I desire for you to be holy. So I was like, well, Lord, what's changed? Because Peter's trying to figure this out. What has changed, Lord? And the difference is the Holy Spirit used to live in the temple, but now he lives in the people. That Holy of Holies that makes a space holy is no longer confined to this room. It is indwelling Peter. And so God says, these things that used to make you unclean have lost their power. They've lost their power to do that because there's something greater on the inside of you. Amen? There's something greater on the inside of you, and God has to change Peter's narrative to being one that's fearful and afraid of defilement, and I can't do that, and I can't talk to them, and I can't go there, to one of, wherever, Peter, you show up and walk, wherever you stand, that is now holy space. The Holy Spirit of God goes where you go. And you take him with you. So don't call unclean what I have made clean. And how is he going to make it clean? Let's look at the text. Peter meets Cornelius. He goes with Cornelius' men and he meets him. And read with me in verse 27. Cornelius bows down. Peter says, no, I'm just a man. And then they're talking. 10:27, while talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile. Right? Leviticus. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. Is that what God showed him? Mm-mm. But the Holy Spirit's translating it, and he's on a journey, and he's starting to get it. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? That's such an emotionally healthy question, isn't it? May I ask why I'm here? May I ask why you're angry with me? So Cornelius tells Peter about the vision, which real estate in Manhattan is pretty expensive, yes? Yeah, a little. Just a bit pricey. It's the same in Scripture. It's only so big. So when something gets repeated, it's on purpose. It's taking up prime real estate. And we see this vision, it actually gets repeated 3 times. Have you heard that number before? God likes to talk in threes. It, like, reflects his character or something. We sang a song, Jesus, You Change Everything. And I kept thinking about this passage when we were singing that song. He's changing Peter. He's changing the scene. He's changing where the Holy Spirit is. And he's doing something historic in the church. And he's still doing it. So I don't know if you know much about Jewish Gentile, but for a Jewish man to accept a Gentile without that Gentile converting to Judaism and becoming circumcised and becoming ceremonially clean was kind of like, you know, I just flew in last night, and any of you ever feel that little moment, just that of anxiety where the door says, once you walk through these doors, there's no turning back, you know? Like, you're patting down, making sure you got your phone, you're looking to see if all your bags are there, and there's their security guard, and you're just like, did I get it? Okay, it's okay. Yeah, I don't need to go back. It's kind of like that moment. For Peter to accept and step into this, there's no turning back from this. So for the sake of time, we're not going to read the vision again, but you should. We're going to keep doing to go after what God wants us to see. You can use your observation skills and look at it. So Cornelius tells him the vision. And then Peter responds to him, and he begins to tell him the gospel. And I want us to read, starting in verse 44, because something happens. And that gospel, it's a great way to kind of teach yourself how to share the gospel, to learn from what Peter shares. But starting in verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who'd come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. And then later when he's recounting everything that happened in 11:15, if you have your Bible, I think we might even have that one. He says, as I began to speak, he's telling them what happened. The Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. He's sharing with them that what happened to us in that upper room, it happened again. It happened again. If you, Cornelius's family was not invited to that party, that upper room moment, they were not invited. They couldn't come. They were Gentiles. They weren't born in the right family. They didn't know the right people. They were not invited. But God brought the party to them. And God didn't just bring the party to them. He actually used Peter, a Jewish man, to do it, which has all kinds of redemption on it. So what do we see about God? Looking at this last bit of text, God sees Gentiles as humans who need him. This human wanting to love him but not knowing how beyond prayer and being generous. And Cornelius needed to know Jesus, so God sent Peter. God wrecked Peter's understanding of how and when the Holy Spirit could hit and with who. God saw unclean, but he sees everybody that way. And he saw faith to receive his son. So, like we said before, instead of the Gentiles defiling Peter and making him clean, Peter stepped into that situation with Cornelius, and they were made clean. Instead of being defiled and made impure, he brought purity. He brought holiness. We're walking into a space that people would say, there's no way that God would move in this midst. These people are too dirty. These people are too far away. These people don't have the right pedigree. There's no way. And God sent Peter in that space to bring his Holy Spirit power and pour out his Holy Spirit just like he did on the Jews. No longer does the Holy Spirit live in a temple. He lives in you. And he commissioned Peter to go, could God do it without Peter? Of course he could. He did it in Acts 2. Nobody was preaching the gospel when the Holy Spirit came. But he wanted Peter to come and be a part of it. And Peter no longer had to be afraid of that defilement. He had the Holy of Holies inside of him. So last thing, what do we see about God? I want you to know this because I know you've been reading or preaching through the scriptures. We see God keeps his word. Because what happens in this moment is absolutely the carrying out of Abraham's blessing. God had said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you'll be a blessing to the whole world. And this right here is a moment where that door is flinging wide open. It's a key moment in history where God is a promise keeper. He's keeping his word and he's taking the party to them. Cornelius was born outside the privilege. He wasn't invited. But he and his whole house were made clean. The Spirit came and dwelt in them. So before we respond, there's one more. I want you to consider Peter and how God said, when we look at observation, we look at Peter. Consider Peter and how God wanted him to go on mission and how God met him where he was in his understanding and journey, prepared him, worked in him, and used him. Consider Cornelius, who was not born in privilege, who was not born knowing the right people, who wasn't invited to the party, but God said, you can be made clean in a minute by my Holy Spirit coming on you. Now, I want you to consider somebody else, because this piece right here, I was crying for a couple days after I read this, and I think there's something in this that the Holy Spirit wants us to get. Look with me at Acts 11. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. Apostles and believers. Who are the people we're looking at? So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. And they said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. It. The apostles and the believers, they could have been celebrating, and instead they were criticizing. When we use our observation, we look at people, and then we say, Lord, where am I like these people? Am I like Cornelius, not invited? But I want to love you, and I need somebody to come preach to me and help me get clean. Are you like Peter, who's kind of got God in a box, but you do love him, and you're seeking him, and you just need to show up, and you need to listen to him when he's trying to change your narrative? Or are you like the other apostles and believers, standing back, critical of God preaching through a woman? Of God telling you to go to somebody's house who isn't going to really help you socially or career-wise. Of somebody that really you don't feel like they're necessarily worthy of your time because they just don't fit the kind of cool crowd that you want to be with. These believers and apostles, full of the Holy Spirit, heard that the Gentiles received the word of God, and what happened? Yet their racism, their classism, their elitism trapped them from being able to celebrate God's move. But thankfully, there was a Peter in the room. And Peter said, I know you have that narrative, but let me tell you what God's doing. And they were able to hear him. And they were able to celebrate, but not initially. So thank God for Peter that testified. The question is, where do we perpetuate narratives? Where do we fail to rejoice in what God is doing? Where do we not realize that we can take the holiness there and not be so afraid of being defiled? Do we look down on or choose not to eat with others because they're not good enough for us? In Acts 10 and 11, the start of the church laid down a precedent. Do not call unclean what God has made clean. The Holy Spirit can fill whomever he chooses, and he can make them clean in an instant. He can take somebody where they are and he can move them on mission if they'll participate with him. And he can even have patience with church people's messed up, racist, misogynist views. You know, Jesus ate with a lot of people and it made a lot of people mad. This eating with is a consistent theme in Scripture. And I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you, church, that you need to start eating with them. You need to start eating with them. Because before we judge, I want to ask you which of these characters you might be like. And I felt like looking at this, that this text is a huge mirror to look at. Am I like Peter? Am I like Cornelius? Am I like the apostles and believers? But it's also God's heart for mission. There's two things happening. It's meant to mirror something, but it's also meant to communicate God's heart for mission. And that he desires his people to show up and go into spaces that he wants to bring cleanliness to people that others would call unclean. I was praying beforehand, before church started, and I saw the front doors wide open. And I saw you guys standing on the steps and out in the street, inviting people in and handing out invitations. And I saw them take the invitation and kind of shocked and surprised and keep walking down the street. But I saw you show up again the next week handing them out. And some of those same people. And like there was coffee and stuff in here. And there was just conversations happening on the street and in the entryway. And after a couple weeks, they started coming in. And they were like looking around and kind of sitting down like, I'm going to see what this is all about. These people are persistent. They keep inviting me. I'm just going to check it out. On the way here, we stopped at Starbucks, and the barista, he had a big giant gold cross on his neck. And I knew. I mean, that's like, you know, talk to me. So I said, I noticed that gold cross on your neck. Are you a Christian? Or do you have a Christian background? He says, nah, I'm not a Christian, but yeah, my mom was, and I'm not going to church. But, I'm kind of seeking, I'm kind of there. And I go, yeah. And he says, but I told my mom, don't force me, and I'm going to kind of come as I want. And I said, is that working for you? That's my second favorite question. It's funny when the atheist says, yeah, and I don't like God, and blah, 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 blah. And you go, how's that working for you? And they go, it's terrible. I've actually had that happen. It sucks. And he said, yeah, you know, it kind of is. I'm praying when I get in trouble. And I thought that was beautiful. I was like, that's pretty awesome. You know, if you want to know more, you're interested, we have a church just down the street. There's people like you in the room that are kind of trying to figure it out themselves. Love to have you come check it out. Are you here? I don't know if you got off work and came in. But I believe that was a prophetic vision for you guys. I believe that door open moment and you guys out on the street handing out the invitations was actually a vision, just like Peter's and Cornelius's, from the Lord for you. That he's calling you to step outside your comfort zone. He's calling you to step outside your narrative of how this works. And he's calling you to go into their spaces and eat with them. He's calling you to maybe knock on your neighbor's door and invite them over for dinner. They're not going to accept the first time. They're going to think you're weird. He's calling you to do it again. I challenge you. Show up 30 minutes early. Next several weeks. And give that time to the Lord. Pray expectant. Get somebody to do it with you. Grab some of these invitations and see what God will do. Because if he can move his Holy Spirit in that upper room, he can show up in Cornelius's house, and he's resident in all of you, he can do that again. He can show up and fill people with the Holy Spirit again. And I just challenge you. I'll say this last thing. I don't even know what time I'm supposed to. Am I done? I don't even know. We have another hour. We're good. I grew up with a single mom. I'm familiar with what food stamps look like. I'm familiar with welfare cheese and how that tastes. And when I was in high school, I lived on my own my senior year. I was rented a room, worked at Lowe's, partied on the weekends. And it was in North Carolina, and there was a contingency of debutantes. Anybody know that phrase? I'm like kind of old. And, you know, I partied with these girls some because I could get the alcohol because I had the older friends. And I'd show up at parties, and they would drink it. But we knew each other from a distance. And they were wealthy and, you know, high society, and I just wasn't. I just didn't have the pedigree. I didn't have the family. And long story short, but I graduate, and you know, like the superlative seniors, most likely to not go to college probably would have been mine. And I show up at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, as a junior transfer. Great way to go, saved a ton of money. And that first week, I'm walking on campus, and this girl, we'll call her Julie, looks, and she's like, Danielle? Like that face, you know? She goes, what are you doing here? I mean, it was dripping with patronism. It was dripping with just this incredulous, what are you doing here? Don't you know our laws say you should stay in your economic sphere and status and let us stay in ours? And I said, I'm going to school here. And she goes, oh, well, good for you. Good for you. I'm so proud of you. I hope you make it. No kidding. That's what she said to me. And I said, yeah, I think I will. Jesus has changed my life. And she just does this face. Because she grew up going to church. I know, because they would be at the party and they'd be like drunk and saying, I got to go to church tomorrow. My parents are going to kill me. I would just sleep in. I didn't have to go to church. My parents didn't have a clue where I was. And I saw her 2 weeks later, drunk out of her mind on Franklin Street. It was kind of the party street in the Chapel Hill. And she was with another girl who knew me as the partier. And the other girl goes, Danielle, what is up? You know, and they just came out of the bar. They're totally underage. And I said, hey, we were out there sharing the gospel. And Julie's with her. And Julie heard me testify that Jesus has changed my life. And she's like, you know, and what are you doing out here? Are you ready to party? I said, I am so partying. I said, I'm out here telling people about Jesus. She's like, Jesus? She sobered up quick. But I say that to say that God can change anybody. So if you're a Cornelius in the room, so was I. So was I. And if you're a Peter in the room, I've been there too. I've been there, not wanting to go and associate with those people. And if you're like the apostles and believers and you're being critical of God's move, and you can't believe that people would show up 30 minutes early out of their busy New York schedule to try to engage people that socially and career-wise and whatever, you know, you may never make a difference, don't do that. You could celebrate what God's doing. You could celebrate the move of the Holy Spirit, and you could actually join him on his mission and participate. Amen? All right, so here's what we're going to do. Application of SOAP is, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to believe? What truth do I need to grab a hold of, and what lies do I need to let go? And one of them might be this empowerment of taking the Holy Spirit and the Holy, that he goes with you. What do I need to believe? And the second thing is, how should my behavior change to look more like you, God, to look more like your heart, to look more like what you see and do? How can I line up with that? How can I jump into like a Peter situation where the Holy Spirit shows up in a room and it's just crazy? How can I do that? So we're going to take a minute. I don't know if we have any piano or something. And we're going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to pray for us. I think we have a prayer. Yeah, how will I believe or behave differently? Can you go to the next slide? Yeah. So here's some questions. What did I see about who God is? What did I see about people? How am I like any of them? Holy Spirit, what do you like me to believe? And how am I being called to behave differently? So let's take a minute. Do some business with Jesus. Spirit. I'm going to ask you to do something maybe a little different, and it's not for me, it's for you. God's a God of action. If you would want to pray and repent and see God's heart and his vision for the lost, and you feel like you've not seen like he sees, I want you to stand up because I want us to pray for you. And you're going to stay standing because we're going to ask a couple of others to stand as well. But I want you to stand up in an act of repentance, in an act of surrender to God. That I don't care, Lord, anymore about what people think. I really want your heart, Lord. And I want to see people like you see them. And I want to show up. And I want you to show me where I've been believing things that are kind of gross. And you want to say to me, don't call that unclean. I can make it clean. Maybe you've not seen your sin as unclean. And God wants to make you clean. But if that's you, I want you to stand up. Second, I want people to stand up. And you can just stand up whenever you're ready. Stand up if you have looked in the mirror of these people and you've seen prejudice like Peter. You've been afraid of defilement. And you want to sense God's Holy Spirit power inside of you that can invade a space and bring his power in that space instead of you being afraid of defilement. I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up if you're like Cornelius and you love God, but you need revelation about Jesus' ability to forgive and you need the Holy Spirit to fill you and make you clean. Jesus, 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 you change everything. You change everything, Lord. Would you change us? Would you change us, God? Would you give us your heart? Would you give us your vision? God, those that are standing, Lord, I pray that you would enter into them, Lord, with truth and with conviction and with an empowerment of the Holy Spirit. God, to fill them, Lord, with who you are. To fill them with truth. To fill them with power. Holy Spirit, move in this place. Let us see you, God. Let us see you in your heart. Let us see each other right. Let us see, Lord, the lost. Holy Spirit, this is a book about you. It's about you, Lord, and it's about what you want to do through us. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are standing. If you're near somebody that's standing, lay your hand on them. Lord, let tonight be another one of those historic moments in your church. God, you see their heart. Holy Spirit, invade them and change them. Change them, Lord. Help them see you and know you and walk with you in a greater way. We pray you'd protect them, protect the seeds that have been sown. And I pray, Lord, that people would leave here tonight with a greater love for your word, a greater love for you, and that they'd even apply these tools and they'd come to their Bible to look and worship and see you, God. And you change their lives. I bless them tonight. Thank you for these faithful.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.